right, looks like we're recording right now.
So great, great opening statement there, like mumbling. So this is a very special episode because once upon a time, we looked it up. It was March of last year that we were up here in your apartment. We're speaking with our neighbor, as if we're a couple.
I don't live with you.
No, you don't. I live alone. My neighbor, Kevin, who has a lovely apartment. This is a special location episode. And so we did an episode last in March, which actually garnered the most audience we've ever had. And people have been clamoring for, when are you going to come back? And now you're back.
No pressure.
We have one fan in England called, we call him British Mark. And he loved our episode. He said, that guy sounds so nice.
Aww.
And I was like, you don't really know him. But
he's British. It's easy to...
Well, before the podcast, we were talking about British stuff. And, like, I went to London recently, and you've been to London. And I do love British stuff. It's just the movies, like Pride and Prejudice, is not my favorite movie.
The Jane Austen stuff.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's like its own cottage industry. I mean, it's a whole genre. Jane Austen movies are like a genre.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But, so we were thinking about what angle to talk about, and we all have a huge knowledge of movies. Some of us watch movies that other people don't watch. So we thought we could talk about that. We could also talk about anything else that comes up.
Well, I mean, you know, if it veers off, you know, I mean, you know, we can do tangents.
Well, but you're right. I was also commenting that you seem to be in a good mood today, and I was hoping that you wouldn't be. Because happy people just don't translate to a good podcast, you know what I mean? I want you to...
That's true, but at the same time, it's very easy for a happy person to become unhappy. It just takes a little bit of work.
But I don't think he's going to become unhappy, like, in the next 20 minutes, like, unless we say something that would offend him. But I don't think you're going to be offended by anything that we say.
No, actually, Memorial Day weekend is a good time for me because it's the unofficial start of summer.
Okay.
And I just love summer, everything about it.
I love summer, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love summer, and I don't love summer. You want to know why I don't love summer?
Why?
You know why?
Because you only have a few summers left?
Because I feel pressure, yes. Because I feel a lot of pressure in the summer to have a great summer.
Yeah, and to do fun stuff.
Yes.
I feel that too.
Yeah.
Totally,
because it lasts like 2 seconds.
Right, because you have to pack it all in.
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah, I feel that too.
Right, so like in January, I don't feel that pressure because January sucks anyway.
Right, right. No, I mean, I mean, if it's a beautiful day, I'm thinking, oh my God, I should go to the beach.
Right.
Or I should go to the pool.
Right.
Or I should do something outdoors.
Right.
You know, and then sometimes I just don't have the energy.
Right.
I just don't, you know.
Because we have lovely jobs that suck our energy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's like we're being just ground into the asphalt.
See, I knew that side of you would come out very, very shortly. The world sucks and we have to work for a living. God damn it. It's funny. Actually, it's funny to our audience. Me and Kevin actually have the same job. We don't cross paths.
That's right.
But we have, you know, we deal with seniors and transportation and hospitals but we never see each other.
We're ships that go bump in the night.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's not often that I get to hang out with you.
Well, see, that's how it is with drivers, you know, with ride-provide drivers generally.
Right.
We're just, you know, we just pass each other.
I know. And I usually start early in the morning because I want to get it over with.
Yeah, and I usually start later on. I mean, I usually finish around 5:30.
Yeah.
You know, like 5 to 5:30.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a grind. You know,
it's a grind.
I mean,
you
need the money.
I know. I actually drove Uber this morning because it's Princeton is having graduations, and I did I didn't want to do it though but I need the money.
Right. Yeah.
I just hate needing money.
Yeah, me too. that's my whole
I know.
Yeah. I mean when if we're talking politics, that's my whole beef.
Oh, yeah. We're not talking politics.
That's my whole shtick.
We're not.
Yeah. We were talking movies.
Talking movies.
You know, I was saying that I went with my friend Helena.
Right.
To see The Lost King.
Right.
Which is a recent film.
Right.
And
it's an independent. Is it an independent movie? Have you heard of it?
I don't know.
I'm surprised. I actually haven't heard of that one.
Yeah.
It was that. It was at Montgomery for a long. I'm sorry.
I'm usually I follow releases. I don't see everything, but I usually if it's a new release, I'm usually familiar, even like on the indie scene.
Yeah, it was.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah,
it wasn't like one of those must see indie movies.
No.
That come out every.
And who's
couple
the
of
star
years.
Of the film?
Oh, I can't remember.
The woman. She anyway. Yeah. She's been around Holly Golight. Whatever. I don't know.
No. That's
somebody
Breakfast
else?
At Tiffany's. Holly Golight.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
No, I mean I can't. Yeah, the actress's name I can't remember. But it was at Montgomery for a long time.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
Yeah, the Lost King. It was, you know, but I'm just interested in the subject matter of how it's.
Yeah.
The third, the one I want to see now.
Yeah.
Is You Hurt My Feelings.
You Hurt My Feelings with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Right. That it's gotten really good reviews.
I got the reviews, but I hate the title.
Well.
It sounds You Hurt My Feelings. You can't come up with a better title than that.
Well, yeah, I can.
Is
see
it a comedy
point.
Or a drama?
I think it's a dramedy.
It's a dramedy.
Yeah.
But what interests me is that she's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And she overhears a conversation with her of her husband talking to somebody.
Okay.
And her husband is saying he doesn't really like her work.
Right, right. That's the premise.
You know, so that gets to me. I mean, you know, that interests
right,
me.
Right, right.
You know?
She did a movie years ago with a guy from The Sopranos. What's that guy, you know, the main Soprano guy?
Oh,
Gandolfini.
Oh, enough
oh,
said.
What was that movie? Was she
another
she...
bad title? Like Say Anything or
Enough
no.
Said.
Enough said.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
I saw it like once when it came out.
But it was good.
It was good.
I loved it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Too.
She has good taste in these scripts.
Well, I was surprised that she didn't follow that up with another movie, I don't think.
Well, maybe she's just being really careful.
Well, actually, she joined the Marvel franchise.
The what?
The Marvel franchise?
She's in that now.
Oh.
The comic book movies?
Yep.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yep.
What part is she playing?
She plays a character named Valentina, and she's only been a few of the projects so far, but they're building her up to sort of be like a villainy, like, government type.
Okay.
So it's actually, it's, because, like, her first appearance was in the show Falcon the Winter Soldier, and, like, before the episode aired that she was in, you know, the news, like, the leaks were that, like, there was going to be a big star showing up, and...
Oh, okay.
So, like, I'm watching it when it first came out, and all of a sudden, you see, you kind of... I forgot if you saw her first or you heard her voice, and I'm like, no shit.
Uh-huh.
No shit, they got her.
Wow.
And she's been in... So, she was in, like, a couple episodes of that. She was at the end of Black Widow. She was, like, in the post-credit scene, and she had a bigger role in the latest Black Panther movie.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, so they're building stuff up.
She's
so.
Probably getting a boatload of cash.
Oh yeah, that franchise is like,
it's
a moneymaker.
It's a moneymaker, but it's hard for me to get into.
I can't
stuff.
Get into these comic
by
book
the,
movies.
By
I
the
just
way,
can't. I mean, it's you know, all the critics are saying that TV is actually more interesting and more adult.
Mm-hmm.
The movies.
Well, that's been around for a while. So
yeah,
like
right.
Dexter and Breaking Bad. And by the way, is there a sound coming off of that?
Oh, can
you shut that off?
Oh,
yeah, it's okay. I just it's faint, but I can hear.
Oh,
it.
Oh, you can hear it.
And,
I'll just turn it off. I don't mean
for you to have to get up and actually do something.
No, I just like the images.
I mean, I know. What you're saying is so profound. I don't want to miss anything.
Oh.
No, you could say fuck you. You could say fuck you. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's okay. I'm the neighbor from downstairs.
I'm wondering how I can get this soft enough to not annoy you.
No. I'm not annoyed by the visual. I'm annoyed by the sound.
Can you still hear that?
No. Let's not talk. I hear... It's okay. Do you hear something?
Not really.
All right. Do you hear it?
I don't hear it.
Okay, maybe
I'm also not the best judge of
what's, sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay. It's fine. I think it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I muted it.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm hearing something, but I'm being like Howard Stern right now, like being very
just hypersensitive.
Perfectionistic.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
being hypersensitive.
Do you want me to leave the house? Am I getting kicked out? That would be great. If you just kicked me out of the apartment.
I'm such a bad host.
It's like yeah. And then you and Ryan could just discuss movies.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing. Like, let's think about a movie that we all agree that we like. Because, like, I can't do the Marvel stuff because I don't know anything about the Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't either. And that's why I feel like
But
I'm
then
out
you
of the
have
loop.
Movies that I don't really enjoy.
Well,
so let's think of a movie that we all like
all right,
to
let's
get.
Sit here in silence.
No, not in silence. We could talk it out loud.
Wait a minute. Right. Danny told me, and correct him if I'm wrong, you like Kubrick.
I do.
Stanley Kubrick. Now, I wonder, like, how long it would take for us to start talking about Stanley Kubrick.
I adore Stanley Kubrick.
Really? Shocker.
The first one I saw, I was 14, was The Shining. And it was actually, that is what got me into Stephen King for a while, even though the book is...
is different.
Different from the movie.
Right. And Stephen King did not like the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Famously so.
Right. I read that Stephen King's favorite adaptation of his work is Stand By Me. Which I can get behind.
Interesting. Interesting. What about Dolores Claiborne?
I saw that.
That's a great movie.
I've never seen the movie. I read the book. It wasn't the way
the movie was powerful.
I saw the movie.
It was very, you know, womany.
It was talky.
Mm-hmm. But it was also about women.
Yeah.
You can't relate to movies about women.
I can't relate to women. I just want to sleep with her. No, I remember
seeing... Good comeback.
This is why I'm single. I don't remember that movie very well. Maybe now...
It affected me.
Maybe now that I'm older and mature, I would understand it better.
It's about abused women. That's the issue.
I guess.
But anyway...
I actually read the novel when I was like 15, back when I was...
oh, really?
I was never a Stephen King fan.
I've never read Stephen King.
Stephen King is an interesting guy. Let me just say real quick that Stephen King is a huge music lover. And
is
like,
he?
Michael McDermott really? Is one of my favorite singers who's not famous, but Stephen King is a huge champion of Michael McDermott.
Oh,
and he even wrote the liner notes on one of his records. Like he's so he's an interesting guy. But
he's a very interesting guy.
But I don't remember. We were talking about seeing The Shining again. But because I haven't seen it in like years.
I would definitely see it again.
But I'm afraid that I'll get scared.
Actually. It's a very disturbing film.
It is.
I mean, it's really genuinely disturbing.
But
I mean, that scene when he's backing her up the staircase and she's got the bat in her hand.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Such a disturbing scene. A really upsetting scene.
Is that George's score? Was incredible.
That's right in the middle of it.
It's in the middle.
Yeah,
that's Jack Nicholson.
And all the backstory about the making of that movie.
Yeah, is
she was abused?
Who's she?
Shelley Duvall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, she probably deserved it.
Well, no, I mean, but you know the calculation.
Yeah.
Was, you know, make her uncomfortable,
right.
Make her scared.
Method acting.
You'll get a better performance.
Method
that
acting.
Kind of thing.
Right.
And she's been a basket case ever since. Have you seen recent pictures of her?
No.
It's like, oh my God, it's scary.
Really?
I'm not sure who turned out worse, her or the Kelly woman from Top Gun.
Oh, Kelly McGillis.
Oh, Kelly McGillis.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't abused. She just ate a lot of ice cream.
Oh, really?
But who do you think abused her? Stanley Kubrick?
It was Kubrick, yeah. But Hitchcock did the same thing with his heroines.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He did it with Tippi Hedren.
Right.
In The Birds.
Yeah.
I want to go. I've watched The Birds because I got the Kubrick 4K set. I finally saw it, and I'm thinking, where was this filmed? I want to go to where it was filmed. It was actually out there in California. I think it was near where Eastwood wound up being mayor. I don't know if it was the same town. But I think
he was mayor of Carmel.
Carmel, yeah. I think it was somewhere around there where they filmed
it. But it's a real town, Bodega Bay.
Yeah.
It's a real town. You can go there.
I remember thinking, that place looks awesome. There's no way that place is in the United States. Only see it, like, in the end, filmed in... Bodega Bay, I guess, California.
It was on location, yeah.
I'm like, shit.
Yeah, I mean, and...
Do they still have a lot of birds there?
No, but I've heard that you can take tours. You can go there and the people will show you around the different locations.
Right.
That mm-hmm. they used. But you notice, the beginning of that movie is very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about stage setting.
Right.
Showing you all the locations where stuff is going to happen later.
Right.
You know?
I don't remember the beginning of the film, but
I've seen that movie a gazillion times. I have it memorized.
Is that your favorite Hitchcock movie?
Well, I mean, it was the first Hitchcock movie I saw in the theater.
Okay.
I was in sixth grade when that came out. I was just a kid. Scared the fucking shit. I mean, it was just like, oh my God, that was a scary movie when it first came out.
Did you know it was going to be scary?
No!
Did you think
I had no idea what
it was
going to
be like about birds?
Into. I had no idea what I was walking into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's funny. My brother had that experience with Dressed to Kill, Michael Caine.
Oh.
And he had no idea.
No, that wasn't Michael Caine, was it?
It was Michael Caine, was the villain in the movie.
Oh, that was a Brian De Palma movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen either because my brother, he keeps saying it was the scariest movie. I've seen parts of it. He's like a shrink. Yeah. And apparently there's a scene where, like, you don't know that he's the bad guy until the middle of the movie. And then suddenly, like, there's a woman in an elevator and he attacks her. Like,
well, that was De Palma's homage.
Yeah.
To the shower scene in Psycho.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right, right. So I've seen parts of it. It actually looks kind of cool and spooky.
It's got a reputation.
Yeah, but again, he didn't know. He thought he was just going to see, like, something. I mean, it says Dressed to Kill. He should have known.
But it scared him.
Yeah. Until today, he's like, oh my God, I was, like, you know, 12 years old in this movie, like...
Oh, yeah, that's young.
But I guess it's your expectations, you know?
Right, yeah. But see, back in the 60s, see, The Birds was Hitchcock's follow-up to Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how are you going to top Psycho?
Right. And that was, what, 66?
It was in the 60s.
Yeah.
And the level of blood and violence in The Birds was you know, not the norm at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, by today's standards, it's kind of tame.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not at the time.
Right.
And so I was like, oh... You know, people are like, oh.
Right.
You know.
But was it less gory or more gory than Psycho? Just different.
Well,
right?
there was that one scene where Jessica Tandy, mm-hmm. Rod Taylor's mom.
Okay.
Goes to visit a farmer to talk with him about his chickens.
Okay.
Is he having problems with his chickens like she is?
Yeah.
And he's not around, and she goes into the house and she finds him in his bedroom. And he's dead, and he's lying there, and his eyes are gouged out.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, boom, boom, boom. You see his eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see his face.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God. And I mean, that was like the jolt.
Right.
I mean, if you're expecting that kind of thing again, that's where all the suspense comes from later.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah,
like
in
Psycho, the shower scene is what...
It's the pivotal moment.
It's, well, I mean, it's like the really scary, shocking thing.
Yeah.
That Hitchcock uses later on to build suspense.
Right, right. Oh, yeah,
because
for sure.
You're expecting it to happen again.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I didn't really grow up.
But that one moment in The Birds when she finds the body.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, you know, in the 60s, that shocking. Was, you know, it was a jolt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but we started with Kubrick though. We went to Hitchcock. So like,
But we were talking about The Shining.
Yeah,
you know, right. And that's and that really disturbing scene with Shelley Duvall.
So
you know, I mean that. I mean, oh,
I know.
I mean, but I mean, it was it's in that scene that you can see how really malevolent Jack Nicholson is getting.
Yeah,
how scary he is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
And so you're afraid of him. You know, thereafter.
Right. You know, I mean, I don't really remember.
From then until the end of the film, you're like, oh my God, this guy is dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. You know, until the end where here's Johnny.
And that's how you build suspense.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I actually don't remember The Shining as well. Was that the only scary movie that Kubrick did?
It was the only flat-out horror movie
he ever made.
He pretty much did, like, almost one movie, like, per genre.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
He didn't do a comedy, though, did he?
I don't think so.
No. Uh-uh. But he did do some flops too, right?
Well, Barry Lyndon was a flop when it first came out.
Mm. I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, I would say it's like...
When was Clock... So,
Clockwork Orange was in the early... I think 1973. No, I think it was 73?
I think it's one of the two.
Well, it was the early 1970s.
Right.
Yeah. But where was that in the trajectory?
He had Dr. Strangelove. Which was a massive.
Actually, that was comedy. That was black.
Comedy. Oh, black comedy. Okay.
You're right. Yeah. Very good. So, but he started.
And funny. That's a funny movie.
Oh yeah.
Peter Sellers.
So he started with a satire.
Yeah, I mean, really, but dark. I mean, like really, really dark.
I would see that again. I haven't seen that in years.
And 2001: A Space Odyssey has some really funny moments.
That's like one of those movies that I've only seen it once, and I finished it. I'm like. That was an experience. That was not just a movie. That was an experience. It's
totally
minimal dialogue.
Totally.
Everything's like focused on like the visuals, and it tells a story. And even the ending, I'm just like, I know it's got one of those endings where people, it's open to interpretation, I guess.
Right, right. And, I mean, you know, that the ending had everybody scratching their heads.
Yeah.
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 I don't, but it was the visuals.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at the time, when that came out, to see that on the big screen.
Right.
Nobody had ever seen anything like it.
And also it was without much dialogue. That was also,
right, it was just visuals. Right.
It was groundbreaking.
Just incredible visuals.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he never did anything like that again.
Well, Clockwork Orange is visually pretty amazing.
Yeah, but it's a lot of dialogue in it.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's a totally different film. But, no, I mean, he, you know, what would he need to do after that? I mean, after Space Odyssey, the first science fiction movie that anybody even attempted to do was Star Wars. And that was like 10 years later.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit of a success.
A little bit. It's actually kind of interesting because it was Star Wars, Jaws, and Raiders. It's interesting because they were three big, huge blockbusters.
Right,
right.
They're also nominated for Best Picture.
Were they?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know, but I mean, that
because they're so pop culture.
Yeah.
But they should be. They're both.
Even,
they're
like,
all
at
great.
The time they came out.
Right.
I actually just rewatched Raiders last week in preparation for the new one.
That's a terrific film.
Oh, it's a terrific film. You know, even when I was in the midst of my last horrible depression, Raiders would come on and I would be able to watch it because it was so visually, and it was so fast, and it was so, like, and every scene is just perfect.
And the action.
Every scene in Raiders is perfect.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know how he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you watch Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I mean, as an action director?
Right.
He's great.
Yeah.
I mean, what he can do with action?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, this nerdy Jewish boy.
Steven Spielberg? Steven Spielberg is Jewish?
But the thing is, I mean, I always thought it was funny that, you know, this sort of geeky Jewish guy would be so good at action.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, he's... I mean... But it's funny, like, that Raiders... What did you say? Raiders, Star Wars...
And Jaws.
And Jaws. I mean, they were like the summer blockbusters, you know, that started all of them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah, I wonder what Kubrick thought about those films.
Who cares? I mean, he was above all of that. Oh, you know, Spielberg adored Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Spielberg was at Kubrick's funeral.
Really?
I'm serious. Yeah.
Oh wow! I didn't know that.
No, I think he actually went to England.
Wow.
To be there.
No, obviously he was. I mean, but look, as Kubrick also took chances, you know, which
Kubrick was. Oh my God! I mean, you know, when The Shining first came out, I was just kind of disappointed because before The Shining, you had Dr. Strangelove,
right?
You had 2001,
right?
You had A Clockwork Orange,
yeah.
These three just. You know, just amazing. And then this horror movie. And I'm thinking,
Right.
We did Barry Lyndon in between.
No. I think Barry Lyndon was after The Shining.
We could easily look this up. But, I mean, I think... I'm not sure.
That would be interesting to know. Because I thought...
Pretty sure Barry Lyndon was...
All right, you know what? I'm going to look it up right now, Dan, people.
I went on my phone, but I don't know about interrupting
Nick. No. I got this, people. I have this thing called Google.
We also did Spartacus.
Oh.
Which originally wasn't his film. Someone else, I don't know who was directing it originally, but they walked away from it, I think.
Well, no, I think he was fired by Kirk Douglas.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, because, Kirk Douglas had worked with Kubrick for...
On Paths of Glory.
You've seen
that? That one was great.
Isn't that a good movie?
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Yeah. I think that's when Kubrick really... It was The Killing and then Paths of Glory that really was like, all right. This guy's got something.
Right, exactly, yeah. And you know who was a fan of Paths of Glory? Was Winston Churchill.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, he thought the battle scenes were great.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Barry Lyndon, 1975.
That was after Clockwork.
Yeah, but before Shining.
Before The Shining.
Shining was 1980.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
What was the plot of Barry Lyndon?
It's kind of, eh.
See, I mean, I'm reading it now. I just don't remember this movie at all.
That's one I haven't seen yet.
It's. I would say it's his least.
Yeah. And Lolita was also.
Lolita was early.
I saw it, and I was not that.
Peter Sellers has a really good one scene in that.
Yeah,
he's really good.
Yeah,
but he plays like a normal guy. And that's actually one of the only things I remember about that movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't remember that movie either.
Lolita. And that, yeah. But that was early on, too, I think.
That was after Spartacus and before Strangelove.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, every movie was so different. That's mm-hmm. why it was so cool. That, you know, he took chances, you know? Like, he didn't stick to one thing.
Well, I mean, it was like, you know, I guess...
And then Eyes Wide Shut.
I loved Eyes Wide Shut. I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody says.
That
movie did not make sense to me until I saw the uncensored version.
I know.
The X-rated version.
Right, with the big...
Because it's porn. It's supposed to be porn.
Right.
And if it isn't, it doesn't, you know, it has no impact.
I know. That's why they released it.
Well, okay, but they released it as rated R.
I know.
Its initial release.
Yeah.
Because they thought it would be more commercial and it would make more money.
I know.
Let's be honest, that's a valid idea.
Yeah, okay. But
it's a typical Hollywood movie.
But it was just a huge flop.
Well, I'm sure he was upset about that.
Well, he was
dead. Was he dead by the time?
Right.
Oh, yeah, it was just days after.
Yeah, the movie was so bad that it killed him.
AI.
Spielberg.
That was supposed to be Kubrick. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, which yeah. I didn't see it.
Yeah, that has a really kind of deflating third act.
Yeah,
you know, Act 3 is not
so
good.
So My Life has a deflating third act as well.
Well, let's not go there because I'm going to feel that way too.
I think you're on your fifth act. No, just kidding.
Fuck you.
Oh no, here we go.
I'm going to drop some F-bombs here.
I'm being dismissed. That's okay.
I need some more gin.
I also want to tell you something, Kevin. That
oh yeah.
Since the last time we did our podcast, we've done many, like maybe 67, 8 episodes, and nothing has been accomplished.
Oh come on!
Like we just talk about the same things over and over again, but it's comedic.
It's fun. Good.
We talk about us not having sex. Like,
right,
you know,
but I can't imagine you guys aren't interested.
No, we are interesting, but we cover the same ground over and over again.
Well, that's where I come in.
Yeah, you're saving us. You're a huge part of the threesome.
Okay, I'm just going to get some more booze.
All right, great. So, how's your day, Ryan?
Yeah, you know, I...
I mean, yeah. we did another podcast, but... I'm trying to think of, like, movies that I really... You know, I don't want to go... I mean, I have a problem with movies. Like, remembering, like, which ones are the most important ones to me, you know? Like, music, I can remember any song on any side of a Queen record mm-hmm. or Dire Straits. But movies, I'm like... There's certain movies that I love, and I just kind of forget about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, you know what one of my favorite movies is that I watch again and again?
Let me guess. Can I guess? Is it from this century?
It's Working Girl. Isn't that weird?
Melanie Griffith?
Yeah, I love that movie.
I've never seen that one.
Don Johnson's ex-wife.
Was Don Johnson in it?
Melanie Griffith and Harrison Ford.
And Don Johnson should have been in it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You talk amongst yourselves.
No, why? You,
I think Witness was also nominated for Best Picture.
Was it?
Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford, yeah.
I think so. They say that the Oscars used to get the Best Picture nominations, right, ever since they expanded... The category to 10?
Right.
It's gone downhill.
Well,
it's
gone downhill, and also the quality of the movies.
I think it's also that. I mean, like, they also kind of have to fill out the extra ones, so it's like, all
right. Right, but I'm surprised you like Working Girl.
Because I was surprised, too, because it's just a prostitute?
You take it.
No, it's Mike Nichols. I think that's why I like it.
Okay.
Mike Nichols is a really good... I mean, I'm a huge Mike Nichols fan.
What, the guy that did The Graduate?
The Graduate. Carnal Knowledge. Remember we watched
Jack Nicholson. Oh, that's one of your favorite movies.
But we watched it together.
Twice.
It was great.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Which one was it?
It's called...
Carnal Knowledge.
It's a crazy Jack Nicholson being like his most like
Jack
manly...
Being like, you know, super toxic alpha male.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like really dark.
It's very dark.
Even by today's standards, it's really dark.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. You like dark movies.
Yeah.
Is it from the 70s?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's early. It was like one of his follow-ups to The Graduate.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised you like Working Girl because it's kind of light.
It's very light. It's just a bubble. You know. It's
see, but this, your movie taste is interesting to me because you like dark stuff, like you love that Kevin Spacey movie.
What was that? American Beauty. That's one of my favorites. You like that?
That one's good. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. I mean, that was a touchstone.
That's on your top,
okay. That's in my top 10.
Top 10?
Oh, wow. it really is. No, it's awesome.
And why is it in your top 10?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I just see, I see Lester Burnham, the Kevin Spacey character.
Right.
As every man.
Do you relate to him?
Sort of like Benjamin in The Graduate.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and the age inappropriate sexual thing. Right. Going on, like, you know, Mrs. Robinson and Benjamin,
right,
and Lester and Angela,
right.
You know, but you related that comparison was made a lot,
right?
You know,
but I mean, it's a much darker film than The Graduate,
is it?
I think you know, so.
The Graduate is really dark.
Is it?
I would say so.
I mean, saw it in high school, so I haven't seen it since.
I mean, American Beauty like ends with like a violent.
It ends with a murder.
And Graduate is just like it breaks up a wedding.
Well, I you know. Well, okay, I guess
it's darker.
American Beauty is darker.
But the Graduate was more like, you know, sarcastic view of the times, maybe.
But it was also, you know, a vision of suburbia.
Right.
Yeah, and how
as this, like, really, really dark place right. with a lot of mystery.
Right, right.
You know?
That was, I mean, I watched The Graduate a lot because
I love that movie.
The first half of it is just, Dustin Hoffman is a genius in it. Just the Ooh. Way Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, he's amazing. Is a genius.
I don't like every Dustin Hoffman movie ever, but I mean, that performance is just.
Great. That was his breakout role.
I know. But, I don't feel as passionate about American Beauty as you do.
For me, that was like life changing. It really was. I mean, I guess I saw myself in Lester
Right.
Burnham.
Right,
you know.
Right.
I mean, this you know, this nobody, this little nobody.
Right.
Who has this horrible wife, and this awful job.
Right.
And he defeats both of them.
Right.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He's like triumphant at the end. He's a hero at the end. I saw it as very positive.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. See, it's hard. I was just saying to Ryan when you were, in the kitchen. Like, I can't. I'm not good with thinking about what the best, my favorite movies are. It's frustrating.
I have an ever-changing list of top tens.
But if you had a top 5 or 10, like, just what would some of them be?
All right, okay. There would be
American Beauty.
American Beauty. There would be Vertigo.
Vertigo is Hitchcock.
I actually saw that. I've seen it twice. Once in like 7th grade. The other time, like maybe just over a year ago, and it was like, that's definitely one I want to see again.
Yeah, it's an amazing film. I mean, mm-hmm. I was in New York in the 1980s when it was re-released.
Oh, okay.
Because it was out of circulation for a long time.
Right.
And Hitchcock did that deliberately. It's like build up this sort of legend around it. And so it came out again.
I don't remember.
And it was at one of the art houses.
Is that the one where he spies on the person? Or is that Rear Window?
That's Rear Window.
That's Rear Window. So what's the premise of Vertigo?
No, Vertigo is Jimmy Stewart is a private detective, and he's retired.
Okay.
And he's hired by an old college friend to follow his wife.
Okay.
His wife is having mental episodes.
Okay.
And so the husband who hires Jimmy Stewart
yeah.
wants all of this observed.
Okay.
And that's how it starts. And so it came out in the 80s. You know, after a long time not being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see it, and the first time I saw it, I was like, that's it? You know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the following week, it was in my head, and I kept seeing it.
Yeah.
Scenes kept coming back to me. I was haunted.
Oh, wow.
And I went to see it again, and I was mesmerized.
Huh.
I mean, and that's how I got into it.
Hmm.
And I'm a huge Hitchcock fan.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
Yeah, I don't. I've seen maybe half, so I can't.
I've seen most.
I can't be eloquent on Hitchcock.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen Rear Window?
Well, I just.
Oh, it's wonderful. That is one of the best movies ever. It's just so amazing.
Right.
I mean, it never gets old. I can watch it again and again, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, I just want to be in this world.
Okay. All right. You know? So we got American Beauty. We got Vertigo. I know you have Space Odyssey.
Casablanca.
Casablanca?
Absolutely Casablanca. Oh my God, that's one of the greatest.
I haven't seen that one yet.
You have to be political. It's a very political film.
Really?
It's about resistance.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Really? Okay. I thought it was a private eye thing, no?
No.
Oh.
No, it's about, you know, Americans against the Nazis.
Really?
Yeah, it's about the Nazis.
I should know this, but I don't know it.
No, it's fantastic.
Okay. It's Hungry.
Citizen Kane.
I love Citizen Kane. I don't care what Danny says.
Oh!
I
love
Citizen Kane. One thing I like about it is the fact that Orson Welles was 26.
He was 26!
And he did not get along with the studios at all, so he was never, ever really able to make a movie to his original vision, like, ever again.
Right, that's true.
Right.
That's it's true, because they butchered The Magnificent Ambersons.
I've heard of that. I haven't seen that one yet. The only other one I've seen is Touch of Evil.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
That opening, like...
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these films. I know Citizen Kane, but maybe I'm harsh on it, but it was, for me, it was a homework assignment.
But it has that effect on people. It really does. Because it's a sacred cow.
Right.
Yeah. You go into it thinking, oh, I gotta like this.
Right, right. It's like a
classic. And that, you know, kind of fucks it up.
Yeah, because, right, the word classic can... Right. Expectations are...
Right, it can
right.
be...
I should see it sometimes with no expectations.
I have. Watch it.
It's magnificent.
I don't really see you and me watching Citizen Kane. We're going to be watching Miami Vice episodes. I'm schooling Ryan on Miami Vice, like, little by little.
But the other thing I'm really... attuned into and sensitive to is movie music.
Uh-huh.
Because Vertigo has one of the greatest musical scores.
Who did it?
Of Bernard Herrmann.
Oh, sure.
You've heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
any movie buff worthy of the name has heard... No, I'm serious.
I'm serious, too. Okay, I never heard of him.
He wrote the music to Psycho.
Okay.
That was Bernard Herrmann.
Okay, all right. Okay.
See,
there are things you know that I don't know.
Okay. Okay, maybe we're getting off into stuff that I would.
No, but I'm curious. Like that.
Okay.
Those.
Okay, Citizen Kane has a great musical score.
Right.
I mean, if you pay attention to the music in that film,
mm-hmm.
it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and the same is true. I mean, I would say even more so in Vertigo.
Right.
I remember one time in the 80s, I was living in New York, and one of the local TV stations.
Right.
Was showing Vertigo, and there was like a little capsule review in one of the papers, and it said the music is like is like perfume.
Perfume.
The Bernard Herrmann music is like perfume, and, but it's always been one of the notable things about that film.
I have a terrible joke that I probably shouldn't say. Should I say it?
Well, whatever. Go ahead.
I mean, at this point, only our loyal audiences are listening to this, right. So do you think, how should I phrase this? Do you think you like Hitchcock films because of his last name? You know, ends with a, never mind.
Oh, come on.
I know, it's terrible. I told you it was terrible. He liked it. It's terrible, I know.
It's the fact that that question from you should have been expected.
I know. Right. I have stupid thoughts that come into my head and I have to get them out. I'm sorry.
I think what he said was, just call me Hitch, hold the cock.
Speaking of that, like gay films, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, I'm into gay films.
So, but which one, because, you know, lately they've
oh,
been...
Oh, yeah, I mean, there have been some good ones lately.
But I don't like the Call Me By Your Name. I don't like that one.
Oh, I love that one.
Of course you do, because...
Did you see Love, Simon?
Oh,
that was fun.
No.
Okay, well...
Oh, the kid? The kid? The kid?
The high school kid.
High school kid. Yeah. But what, in the 70s and 60s, were there any...
There was the adaptation of Boys in the Band.
Oh, right.
That was
right.
In the 70s.
I just wonder what the first, like, big hit gay movie was.
That was Boys in the Band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that was an adaptation of the stage play.
Yeah.
And it was
quite...
William Friedkin developed, directed that one.
Oh, I don't...
Well, William, he directed the Exorcist.
Oh, I never saw The Exorcist.
Oh, right. I watched that again just recently. That is, like...
Is it good?
That's a really good movie. It's really scary.
Now, is it the one that starts really normal and then it gets kind of...
No, it's like strange.
I'm thinking about Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby starts normal.
Okay. I've never seen the... Because I'm afraid...
Oh, The Exorcist is scary.
I know. I don't like to be scared. I don't like...
But it's like really gross.
Yeah?
I mean, like...
Yeah. But which one is scarier, Rosemary's Baby or The Exorcist?
I can't remember Rosemary's Baby.
Okay.
I haven't seen Rosemary's Baby yet.
Yeah, okay.
That's
okay.
Roman Polanski.
Mm-hmm. Roman Polanski,
yeah. I mean, did you see the Pianist?
The Holocaust movie?
The World War II movie, yeah.
The with Adrian Brody?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I did. Yeah, it's
tough.
That
was pretty good.
It's good, but it's Holocaust movies are tough, though. Like, I'm not going to watch it again, you know? Like, I like movies I can watch again and again and again.
Well, see, I saw Schindler's List once.
Once, and you saw it once.
I saw it once.
I mean,
how could you see that again?
Right.
I actually own it. That's the funny thing, because...
Right.
Well, I'm also a collector of movies, so...
DVDs?
I have the 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray. This is like the newest format now.
You mean on disc?
Mm-hmm.
Really? But wait, I mean, they're still doing disc?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh. Because there's people like him that just collect stuff that they're never going to watch ever again. They just like to have it in their collection.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not judging it. I'm just saying you're never gonna watch Schindler's List ever again.
Well, I actually probably will.
Oh, okay. I hope you do because you have it in your collection. You spent money on buying it.
Well, it's also part of it's like I buy it so I can watch it again.
I understand.
Right, without having to.
Right. On a rainy day, I just want you to text me the day that you decide. Oh, today I'm gonna watch Schindler's List again.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a very expertly made film, but it's not fun to watch.
It's not fun. It's not fun.
I can't think of any Holocaust movie that is fun.
did you see Life is Beautiful?
Yes, I saw Life. Again, a good movie.
It was dark. What about Sophie's Choice?
No, I don't want to see Sophie's Choice.
It's dark. Well, I mean, it's Holocaust.
I know, and I love Meryl Streep, and I want to see her in her prime, but I don't want to see her choose between the kids.
It's harsh.
I don't want to... Yeah. No, that's the ending of the film,
it's,
right?
It's harsh.
I've seen, it's
the climax.
Oh, man. You know, even stuff like The Deer Hunter, you know?
That's Vietnam.
Yeah, I know Vietnam, but it's another example of a movie that I wouldn't see a lot.
You know, one of the scariest movies I ever saw was with the Killing Fields.
The Killing Fields.
Ooh,
that's a Vietnam
movie. That was a Cambodia movie. The Khmer Rouge.
Who directed that one?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Really, really dark. I mean, really scary. Oh,
see, but this is what I mean about your taste. It's interesting. It goes from, it's eclectic.
It's
you know?
Everything. It's, you know, I'm interested, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's actually one of the scariest scenes I've seen was in Apocalypse Now.
Oh, that was, I love, what do you think, do you love that movie?
The scene where he, I loved it. I've only seen it the one time.
I love that movie.
I have it also. But, you know, it's the scene where it's at night and he gets to the one, I guess the one place where the soldiers are, and they're just, the soldiers are just, like, you can tell mentally they're gone. Like, they're alive, but they're gone.
Right.
And it was at night, and it was like, just seeing, like, what this war has done to these soldiers.
Right.
And they're still in the thick of it. That was
I don't remember that scene.
I don't remember much about Apocalypse Now, so I can't be eloquent about it.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I saw it more than once.
Yeah.
And then I saw Apocalypse Now Redux.
I haven't seen that.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Total mistake.
Leave
the original.
Yeah.
Don't fuck it up with the Redux.
I know. I hate when they did that with 2001 also.
Did they?
The 2010. The 2010.
Oh, no, that's a different.
That's
movie
a sequel.
But
that's
it's a sequel. I know, but it's still kind of
touching. I never watched that.
Right. I don't like war movies that much. Like
I love,
like Full Metal Jacket is still back to Kubrick.
That,
I mean, it's
I have a problem with that one. With that one, Full Metal Jacket,
yeah.
Because it was supposed to be about. See, those soldiers didn't seem like real people to me.
The way they seemed like cartoon characters.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like Kubrick's idea of the common man.
Yeah.
In the army.
Yeah.
What was Oliver Stone's Vietnam movie?
Or the 4th of July? Or
no.
He did Platoon.
No, Platoon.
Platoon,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was real soldiers.
Yeah.
That to me was real soldiers.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
That was good.
Yeah, that was a terrific movie.
But I just, there's movies, I mean, my favorite movies are movies that I want to see again and again.
I'm the same way.
I just don't have that with war movies, you know?
Okay, I get that.
Yeah, because it's just like, or Schindler's List, or like anything.
Right, yeah, I get that.
Anything really heavy.
Well, yeah, it depends, yeah.
But like, or even, it's just weird also that Spielberg was so amazing. Like, he's done a great job of an amazing career, but like Raiders and Jaws and those films were so iconic. Mm-hmm. And
but they're popcorn too.
Yeah, but it was like the Beatles. It was great, but mainstream at the same time.
Okay,
right?
but you know, maybe not so deep.
But still, better. I mean, but that's his best work, I think.
You could have a point.
I think that
could be true.
Yeah, I mean, like the latest Spielberg, you know, Lincoln stuff. Oh, that
I love Lincoln.
I don't know. I love Daniel Day-Lewis, I guess. Like, he's interesting.
I think his last great movie was Bridge of Spies.
I never saw that.
You didn't see Bridge of Spies?
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
Bridge of Spies is really good. I would totally see that again. Yeah. We should see that someday. It's Tom Hanks. It's awesome.
I liked The Post, but I feel like that was after Bridge of Spies, but I felt like that also wasn't as good.
The Post and like there was a few, there was a lot that were just sort of.
I did not like West Side Story, but that's just I'm not a musical guy.
Yeah,
so I can't even.
I was disappointed when it turned out he wasn't directing this new Indiana Jones because it was like he directed the first four. I like James Mangold. I thought Logan was great. Ford vs. Ferrari was great. So I have no problem. I have no doubt he made. Hopefully this one's good.
Did you see Ford vs. Ferrari? You'd like it.
That was good.
Even though it sounds like a race, it's a racing car movie, but it's really good.
We saw
it together. It's Matt Damon and Christian Bale. It's so good. You would trust me. It's not.
No, I would give it a look.
It's really. I love it when he says he's going to give it a look. Like when you say you're going to give it a look, it implies that you're going to watch it for 2 minutes and then look away.
No, when I commit. You know that.
I know. It's just the term "give it a look" is funny to me.
Oh, no,
give it a look and then like turn away. Well, give it a look, turn away.
If you drag me to the theater, I would watch.
I'm not dragging you anywhere. No, like you're a full grown man.
If you suggested it as something we could do together here, and, yes. You know, make it our movie night. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, why do I have to come up with the agenda?
But you know, it was off my radar. I mean,
I know.
There's so much. There's just so much out there. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It was never like this.
Well,
I'm serious. Back in the day, it was not like this.
Well, of course, we have three channels on television too. You know.
You know what I finished watching? I watched all of Friends.
Oh, I know.
Remember when we watched it? We're digressing.
No, it's fine. Like, it's funny. You liked it. Right?
I finished it just yesterday.
Yeah, a good ending.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay.
You've never seen Friends?
Never seen Friends.
Yeah.
Okay, but see, I have HBO Max, mm-hmm. and so you can watch the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to have Max.
It only took you 10 years to watch was it 9 seasons or something?
10.
10 seasons?
10 seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like 240 episodes.
It was very... Right. It's very clever. I mean, it was
a way to pass the time. It was, you know...
Well, life is passing time.
But it was like... Oh, that's so...
It's so philosophical.
That's really deep.
Well, I tried to be deep once in a while.
What was that John Lennon quote?
Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other
people. Yeah, okay.
Said that...
You did?
Last week.
With who are you talking to?
I was talking to you. I'm like, oh. John Lennon said, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And you're like, very good, very
right,
good.
Right, right. Because that's like a late... That's his last record. So you have an interesting thing with the Beatles, right?
I love the Beatles.
Oh, you love the Beatles? I don't know when to segue.
A lot of people love the Beatles. That's not very interesting. I mean,
No. It's interesting to me. You know why?
Because I'm a classically trained musician.
Right. And he
really classical.
Right. Oh, yeah. And so I can't really relate to
you. We're not on the same page musically.
Right.
But that's okay. I
mean, no, of course. It's a big world out there.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, but it's interesting to me, like your relationship with the Beatles is interesting to me because you usually aren't.
I'm not so open to all of that. It's
yeah,
true.
You're not on board with like.
I'm not on board with rock.
Right.
Generally speaking, I just, you know.
Right, right. No, it's okay.
But
I still like you.
Well, I mean, American popular music.
Right.
It all changed with Elvis.
Right.
And then. What was before
right.
just was not current.
Right.
And I tend to prefer what was before.
Before Elvis?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when you hear the Beatles, do you enjoy...
The Beatles are the exception.
Right.
I don't know why. Just the other day, I mean, I went on YouTube looking for Penny Lane. I listened to Penny Lane.
Right.
I love that song.
Right. Mm. Which is a Paul song.
But a lot of their best stuff is Paul, I'd have to say.
I don't know.
But I mean, like, really, really catchy tunes.
It's very hard to say. We talk about
No. Sergeant Pepper's is John.
No, it's Paul.
Paul.
Is that
Paul? I would say actually John did a lot of the rockers.
It's Paul's concept.
Is it?
Actually, we were just talking about this because John actually... I found a clip of John on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he was saying that Sgt. Pepper is not really a concept record the way people think it is. It starts as if a fictional band, and then there's a reprise at the end of it, but all the other songs could be on any other album.
Well, that's true.
It's very true.
But it hangs together if you go through it straight through.
But so does any other record.
Not like that.
I don't know. Like he has a point. I think Paul invented, was trying to make it a more concept album than what it actually was. And I think also John belittles it because it's more Paul's concept.
See, you know, what John did afterward just does not...
Well, you don't like the song Imagine, but if you look...
I think Imagine is bogus.
I understand because you're a very cynical person. But I mean, but... But I mean, if you looked into, you can't judge an artist by one song.
I heard stuff that he collaborated on with
John
with Yoko.
Oh well, yeah. Don't get me started on Yoko.
Okay, but no.
But that's not. But this.
You can't say that's not representative.
It's not representative because his most. Solo work is there's a huge body of work that you don't know.
Possibly.
We're talking about Imagine and Yoko Ono shit, and then there's like a lot of other material.
I'll give it a look.
Just stay away from wedding albums. Two virgins.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, Yoko just really disturbed the whole, I can't believe she's still alive. I can't believe she's still alive.
She has all of the poses and sensibilities of the artiste.
Oh my god.
And none of the talent.
Oh my god. It's so true.
Yeah.
And what he saw in her, I mean, it's baffling.
Yeah, it truly is.
I sometimes watch interviews that they did on like Michael Douglas. They did like weird interviews on talk shows in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre. He's sitting there smoking cigarettes.
They just seem so self-absorbed.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
he was
all this navel gazing.
I know. We did an episode about him, and his death, and it's like he was such a dichotomy of a person. He was smart and stupid and loving and sarcastic.
I wouldn't say I didn't respect him.
Totally. Oh yeah, I think he was a fascinating character.
But I think the four of them did better together than they did on.
100%. 100%. I mean the fact that the world found those four and put them together is a miracle.
Lightning in a bottle. Yeah.
But we went from... I went to the Beatles because you...
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's kind of an anomaly considering my general tastes.
Do you like any other rock songs besides the Beatles?
No progressive rock?
See, I wouldn't know. See, I mean...
Like, when we saw Bohemian Rhapsody, you didn't like any Queen songs. Did you appreciate his talent at all?
See, part of the problem for me... Oh, God, getting into thin ice here.
No.
I don't want to give offense. I mean, I don't...
No, who are you offending? You're not offending anybody.
Okay, part of...
Music is subjective.
Okay, but it's drums, it's guitars, it's maybe a synth or some kind of keyboard, and then the lead singer.
Right.
And that's the instrumentation.
Uh-huh.
Before rock...
Right.
It was full orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what I miss.
I get that. Although, yeah, I perhaps rock is more as more limited parameters.
The instrumentation. See, I'm a composer.
Right.
My degree
is
in composition.
You don't appreciate any Elton John songs or?
Oh, I'm really really general.
What?
No. Actually, my younger brother.
Yeah, because he's a composer. He would be considered a composer.
No, I mean, there are a lot of pop songs.
Yeah.
That I do enjoy. You know, I've been thinking about this.
Right.
I really have.
Yeah.
And like, okay, there. I mean, I cannot deny that there are pop songs that I really, really, you know, just you know, that
enjoy.
That give me a good feeling.
Right. How are we doing?
My younger brother, my brother Jamie. Are we done?
No. I'm just looking at the time because it's going to cut us off at the 60 minute, but we could extend it.
Oh, well, let's
see. We're at the 53rd minute. But we could.
I wouldn't mind going longer.
Yeah, we could do another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I mean,
we're on a roll.
We haven't figured out the meaning of the universe yet. You know,
we haven't solved all the problems.
I expect you to come up with the. I thought about this before because we are actually three different ages. You being the younger one, I'm in the sort of the middle.
You're in the middle.
And you're a little bit older.
I'm the senior.
So it's interesting to have conversations from a different age group.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have anything profound here to say. I'm just saying that.
I'm into that. I mean, my best friends are usually like half my age.
Oh, for sure. Oh, this is my problem. Like when I start to like try to date women of my own age, I don't like them. You know, because all my friends are like, well, either younger or older. Like it's weird.
Yeah.
You know.
But anyway, I was saying about my younger brother. He was like really, really into early Elton John, like at the start, like when he was just coming out.
Right.
My brother, my younger brother got all of those albums.
I would argue Elton John's girly stuff came later on. Like his early stuff was more like rock.
Well, it was rock, yeah. Right. But I remember, you know, I mean, my brother was playing it all the time.
Right.
It was there in the house.
Right.
You know, we were hearing it in the house.
Right.
It was fine. I was fine with it.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
And he was into Steely Dan.
Right.
Yeah. He really loved Steely Dan.
Yeah, it's funny. Steely Dan, do you know Steely Dan?
Oh, yeah.
I used to hate Steely Dan, and now I kind of like them because I don't know why. I mean, they had sort of a pretentious jazzy feel to the songs.
It was kind of experimental.
Yeah, and they had that kind of high-pitched voice, and I just didn't get it. And just lately, I've been like, you know what? Like, sometimes your taste can change a little bit. Like, I feel that way about a few.
It's growth. It's just growth.
It's not growth. Growth. It's
okay. No, I mean that, but
yeah. But usually I actually like most of the things I liked when I was a kid. Like I haven't changed. Like I'm discovering
that's what I'm finding about rock fans.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could be like really blunt.
Yeah, be blunt.
I mean, you know, guys in their 50s are still listening to the stuff they listened to in college.
For sure, because everybody thinks.
You know, now that I think of it.
Yeah.
That's true of me in classical.
Right.
I mean, all the stuff that I got to know in college is the stuff that I still...
Well, there's a reason for that, because that's... It's like
it's what got you excited to begin with.
Right, and when you're in your 20s, that's when life is like, you feel it your most. Now we're not feeling anything at all.
But, you know, I'm
we're numb.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I am speaking for myself.
But, anyway...
56 minutes, we're good.
We got... Okay, a few minutes, yeah. And then we'll cut it off, and then we'll start another one. Or we'll piece two pieces together.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to work that out.
We are professional. We've done this a million times.
No, I mean, I I'm a child of the '60s.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember what was out there.
Right.
You know, popular music wise.
Yeah.
In the '60s.
Right.
You know, we're talking about all the folk that was around at that time. Like
right.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Right.
Arlo Guthrie.
Bob Dylan.
Joan Baez. You know, all of that was like in the air.
Well, the 60s
was...
The 60s was
an explosion
right.
of amazing popular music,
right.
I would say.
So you liked popular music
at
then.
That time.
Well, okay.
But the 50s...
Don't get angry with me.
But the 50s, maybe not so...
The 50s? I can't
the
listen...
The 50s were like just three chords.
No, I can't...
Bum, 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 and then another chord, and then bum, bum, bum.
Right.
It was just kind of primitive.
Well, that's why Elvis gets some credit, even though I'm not a huge Elvis fan. At least he shook things up, no pun intended. He shook things... No.
Well, he had some good tunes, I guess.
No, but I mean, he shifted things around from that very generic 50s sound.
See, well, yeah.
Probably my biggest complaint about Elvis is he didn't write his own stuff.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the Beatles were started with covers and they started to write their own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It became, I mean, the Beatles just revolutionized.
And they just came out with one great tune after.
They had.
Buddy Holly.
But see, I was hearing all of that in real time.
Right.
As it was coming out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can you imagine the impact?
Yeah.
When Sgt. Pepper's first came out, everything just stopped.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Right.
It was like everything just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the whole world was focused on this album.
Right. And also there weren't many other distractions. You didn't have streaming services.
But it was the 60s. The 60s were amazing.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was there.
You were there.
Yeah.
And okay. So we will...
We're gonna take a moment.
Yeah, let's take a moment to collect our thoughts. Everybody, calm down.
Everyone, calm down.
Everybody, calm down.
Everyone, just calm down.
Okay, let's
calm down.